they continue to travel throughout the wilderness, and they're blessed with strength. Their women are blessed with strength that they can make the journey even while they're carrying children and having children. And as they go through these afflictions, there is no murmuring. In verse 3, it says that if men keep the commandments of God, he doth nourish them and strengthen them and provide means whereby they can accomplish the thing which he has commanded them. So therefore we see that the goal is to keep the commandments of God. That's what we're to do, and then God will provide for us. So our first goal is not having careers and providing for ourselves, but our goal is, and well, let's say not having only providing for ourselves, but having fame and glory and money and power and position. Our goal in life is to keep the commandments of God, and he'll take care of all the other things that are needed for our lives. In verse 4, we find out that they were in the wilderness for 8 years, and it appears that Laman and Lemuel didn't do a lot of murmuring during this time, and that they appeared to be good men and continued on in the wilderness for a great length of time. And finally, they arrive at the land of Bountiful, and they're happy there, and it's on the seashore. Well, in verses 6-10, Nephi is told to make a ship, and when he's told to make the ship, he asked the Lord about where to get the ore. Notice that the point is that Nephi is going to make the ship according to the instruction of the Lord. He just doesn't go out and follow his own mind again. He keeps his mind right on what he needs to do, but then he keeps asking the Lord and having the Lord fill in the details. And then in verse 11, it mentions that the Lord has did a lot of things for him, that he's prepared the meat so that they could eat the meat directly, and he gives the reason why he did these miracles of preparing the meat and doing other things, and that was that he wanted to show that the Lord wanted to show them his hand in getting them to the promised land. And likewise, we should see the hand of the Lord in all our lives. These stories aren't just for Nephi and Lehi and their families, it's for all of us. That as we go out through our lives, the Lord prepares us and progresses us and perfects us, that we should obviously be able to see the hand of the Lord in our lives. Obviously, they were in the wilderness for the 8 years, and they're going through all this because going through these journeys to the promised land to progress and to progress them and give them personal growth. It wasn't just to get to the promised land. Same way with our life. I mean, the reason we're here in this life is for us to progress and have personal growth. And the Lord's going to give us and do whatever he can in our lives to make sure that we can do the same things as long as we will follow him and seek his commandments. And here it says that when they get there, they will know that they're getting the promised land with the Lord's work. And what was his work again? Preparing them for the promised land. What is his work for us? It's preparing us. So in verse 17, we find out that was too much for his brothers. The brother says, "No, this is too much. We're not going to build no ship." And so they didn't want to build the ship. And they begin to murmur against Nephi and Nephi and Lehi, and their hearts are turned back to Jerusalem. And in verse 22, they say that the people in Jerusalem were righteous, that they kept the law of Moses. And remember, the law of Moses is that men are in charge, and they like the idea that men are in charge. They like the idea they just have a list of performances, and all they do is they just keep these commandments, and whatever else they can do or however else they can twist them is okay. And they claim that that's righteous. But we're learning here from this experience that the righteous is keeping all the commandments of the Lord, seeking his word, and following his word directly from him, which has to do with the Spirit and following the Spirit and following personal revelation. So Nephi reviews everything that happened to Israel back to when Israel was back in Egypt. And in verse 23, he says, concerning the children of Israel were led away out out of the hands of the Egyptians. And he asked, would this have happened if they had not hearkened unto the words of the Lord? Which again, meaning that it's not the, just the keeping of these commandments that we find in Scripture, but it's the speaking the word of the Lord directly and hearkening unto those words. And we receive those words directly from the Spirit. Again, as we saw previously, it's not that the Lord comes to you and tells you what to do. Again, we all say, yes, I'd hearken to the words that the Lord came and told me. We've seen from these previous stories that the important thing there is that they seek the word of the Lord. Remember, Laman and Lemuel were evil, and they said, no, the Lord hasn't revealed anything to us. I mean, and Nephi says, no, you have to go seek the Lord and find out what he wants. So he continues to review the story of Moses and Egypt, which is really a similar story to their own. And that's why he's reviewing that story. And in verses 33 through 38, he goes on to say that God destroys the wicked in the land and then gives the land to the righteous. So when the people become ripe in iniquity, we can expect that they'll be destroyed and the choice lands will be given to the righteous. And we can expect that in our day as we see the people, the land filled with people who do not want to follow the Lord, do not want to seek his will, but want to do their own will, whether it be in churches or out of churches, or in government or in anything. Men want to be in control, and they want to tell the people what to do. They themselves do not want to follow the Lord, and they do not want you to follow the Lord. But it says in verse 40 that God loves those who serve him. Not serve other men, but serve him. And he does not love the Jews who serve the law and who serve church and who serve man and who serve everything. Again, as they said, they said they were righteous because they set up all these requirements and all these laws and this church and everything and said, gee, look, we're wonderful. But they did not want to serve the Lord. Again, in verse 41, we learn that the purpose of affliction in the wilderness was to straighten them or to progress them or to give them strength. And that it worked in the wilderness, and it worked when they took Israel out of Egypt. But as soon as things started getting easy, as it did in the journey for them out of Israel, and it did when they had now arrived in Bountiful, that is when they began to not want to follow the Lord. Why? Because following the Lord has to do with you putting forth the energy to go to find out what the Lord wants. Well, when you go find out what he wants, in this case, for instance, you might find out he can tell you, I want you to go back into the wilderness. Well, they don't want to hear that they want to go back into the wilderness. So their desires are not to follow the Lord. Their desires are to enjoy their possessions or to enjoy, in this case, the land of Bountiful and enjoy the good things. So, and then they know that, again, that when they follow the Lord's going to require things of them. So they don't want to follow the Lord. And that's why they begin to perish when things are good, because they just don't. Their hearts really aren't on wanting to follow the Lord, and they're afraid that the Lord's going to send them into the wilderness. Again, things weren't that bad in the wilderness, because the Lord upheld them. He gave them strength. He made their meat sweet to eat. He'd take care of you in the wilderness. He'll take care of you anywhere. But we have to have the faith in him. But again, we like to rule ourselves by what our eyes see, and when we feel comfort in being in our one place and having our possessions. But notice that the people in Israel, when they got mad, then their hearts were hardened, and they began to revile Moses and then God. See, first they go to Moses because they don't want to directly say they're against God, so they try and blame it on someone else who they know was a representative of God. But they're really in rebellion against God. Nephi then goes on to say in verse 43, and so then finally Israel was given the promised land, but they immediately began to get more and more evil. Meaning they got more and more wicked in that they did not want to follow the Lord. They wanted to set up their own church according to their own ways, and they wanted to do everything their own way. And that's what became the problem, they became more and more wicked at following what? Following themselves. Not at wanting to follow the Lord. The thing that we're learning here over and over again, speaking the Lord's commands and following him directly. And then he says that they had been commanded to leave the Jews because the Jews were so wicked. Especially the Jews wanted to kill Lehi. And Laman and Lemuel, you want to kill your father. You wanted to kill your father and me also, which means your hearts are exactly the same as theirs. That's why they turned back to Jerusalem. They said, "Well, gee, if the Jews in Jerusalem were righteous people, then, and they wanted to kill my father, then it was okay for us to want to kill him also. And they start relating to them. The leaders of the church in Jerusalem were telling them that they're righteous people just like they are today. And they're just like it was forecast or prophesied in the Book of Mormon in the latter days, that the leaders would say, all is well in Zion, everything's going well, Zion prospers, it grows, and everyone would be at ease in Zion. That's the same way it was in Jerusalem. This is obviously the Book of Mormon repeating the same story over again. Well, we know that history repeats itself, and in this case, the Book of Mormon is telling the story concerning Jerusalem, but applies to, it's meant to apply to our day also. And Laman and Lemuel like to hear that, because when they were back there, they were being told how righteous they were and how good they were at keeping all the performances and so on and so forth. And so they thought they were righteous. Or they didn't think they were righteous. They wanted to think they was righteous. And again, the key here, though, we'll repeat throughout Scripture over and over again, is do they go out and seek the will of the Lord and want to do what the Lord commands them to do? The true followers of Christ seek the Lord and want to do His will. So, and again, it's repeated. What is that key to wickedness? Verse 45, it says they were swift to do iniquity and quick to forget God. Okay? Now, what do they mean, forget God? They don't want to go get God's commandments. They want to do it themselves. They'll forget God. Move God off to the side. We can run this church better ourselves. We know what the Lord wants. See, He wants us to go out there and do this, and this is the way we're going to do it. And the Lord's always going to uphold the way that we're doing it. Instead of day by day, second by second, following the Lord, doing it His way, and His main way that we know is that the leaders direct others to the Lord, and they tell them, go to the Lord, and this is how I went to the Lord, and you need to go, you should go to the Lord and find out what He wants to do. But instead, as today, all our leaders tell us, no, this is the way we'll do it, come and do it the way I tell you to do it, and do what I tell you. No one is directing anyone to go to the Lord, but the Book of Mormon says over and over again that we're to go to the Lord. Nonetheless, Laman and Lemuel have seen the power of God, as we've seen it today with in the early church. Where they saw the power of God, and all of us seen the power of God in their lives, but they reject it, meaning they only want it a little bit. Only maybe because someone's hurt and sick, they want the Lord to come and take care of them then. But they don't want to follow the Lord every day of their life and in everything they do. And Laman and Lemuel, therefore, when someone mentions this to them or starts to tell them of it, like Nephi, and like in our day when we will begin to receive the prophets into the land, the people aren't going to want to hear that. And so they're going to become angry. And so, just like Laman and Lemuel here become angry with Nephi, and they desire to kill him. And when they go to lay their hands on him, then he says, touch me not, because I'm filled with the power of God, and God is going to be my protector right now. I'm filled with His Spirit, and He's not going to allow you to have your way. Because what has He been talking about here? He's been talking about doing the will of the Lord, or the Lord being in charge. And now here, in order to stop him from talking or stop hearing of the Lord, they think they're going to use their physical power to overcome Nephi. Again, they want to be in control. They want to use their power and say what's going to happen. The Lord's saying here, no, I'm not going to allow that. My spirit is in Nephi, and you're not to come over here and start telling me. They're not just telling Nephi, they're telling the Spirit, they're telling the Lord. We want to shut the Lord up. We don't want to hear His words anymore. And the Lord's saying, no, that's not going to be. So He puts the power into Nephi. And Nephi then goes on and commands them to start helping him with the ship. When he's telling them to help him with the ship, he's actually continuing to talk about the power of God. And he says, don't tell me I can't build a ship. And then in verse 50 he says, if God has commanded me to do all things, I could do them. If He should command me that I should say unto this water, be thou earth, it should be earth. And if I should say it, it would be done. And I says, why did He say it would be done? It wasn't just because He said it. It was because the Lord had commanded him to say it. So whose power is it again? It's the Lord's power. It's God's power within him that turned the water into land. But it's His faith, it's Nephi's faith in the Lord, that the Lord can do anything that would allow him to commit to do anything, to perform any miracle. And again, if we will keep our eyes focused on the Lord and His power, if we do truly believe that He is the power in heaven and on earth, that He's the power here, not the governments, not the world, not the church, not the armies, not business or the Internal Revenue Service or anything that we associate with having power over us. They're not the power. The power is Jesus Christ. And if we believe in His power, then if He tells us to do anything, we can do anything because we know that He has all power. And if we're focused on Him, if our life's centered on Him, then we can indeed do all things. And so it says, why then do you, why could He not tell me to build a ship? And it's obvious then he could build a ship. And so the brothers felt this power and they shrank away from him for many days. And finally the Lord says to Nephi, go touch him and I'll just shock him good. So he goes and touches him and shocks him, and they say that they now know for a surety that the Lord is with Nephi. So they have learned a little bit. They start to understand that, no, this isn't Nephi with that power, it's the Lord. So they see that. But then immediately, though, they go back to their old carnal desires and they drop down to worship Nephi. Now this is important because instead of, it shows that they continue to have man on their mind. They think they want a man to worship. See, that's again going back to the law of Moses, that men could not worship God directly. So Moses came down and he set up a church where men were put in charge. Well, after Christ came, then we were given the Melchizedek priesthood and we were told that we were to worship God. Well, even then, the whole idea of the Mosaic law and the Aaronic order at that time was to train men or give them the discipline so that they could go to God direct. And once they did do that, then they were even given the Melchizedek priesthood in those days if they could grow. But nonetheless, man showed this continual idea that they want to serve other men, and they've got to have these other physical men to worship. And this is where they were at. So they start to worship Nephi. And Nephi tells them again, no, you don't worship me. You worship the Lord. Now, we see, or repeat it again, that Nephi does not want to rule and dominate them and tell them all what to do. He continues to direct them to the Lord, as each righteous man is to always direct others to the Lord. And then he also tells them that they should honor their mother and father, which means that Lehi and Sarai had been true to the Lord, and that they are following the Lord in coming out of Jerusalem and going into the wilderness and then going to the Promised Land. So therefore, he is telling them that they give honor to their mother and father for this, and that if they do that, they will live long in the land.